Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Well, hallelujah. Before I brag on your pastor, let me brag on you. It is such a smart thing to do what you're doing today. Nobody will ever be on their deathbed and say, you know what I regret? Honoring my pastor. Nobody will ever say that. I was listening to Colossians and Thessalonians driving over here from Carrollton this morning. And when I heard this, I said, that's a word for this house today. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm not preaching this, I'm just going to read this. And we urge you, brethren, in verse 12, to recognize those who labor among you. You've done that. And over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. What you're doing is biblical. I was in a district office in another state, and I've heard it all. You know, we honor the preacher for past appreciation every time we give him a paycheck. Well, no, workman's worthy of his hire, but look, doing this, acknowledging their work, is a blessing. And your pastor is sort of a unicorn. And I got this, and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a moment. The Barna research, I took a picture, a screenshot of this. People are leaving the ministry left and right. They're just jumping ship. I think 1,400 a month leave the ministry, 1,100 come in, so there's a deficit every single month. And we can have a labor shortage at McDonald's and Walmart. We cannot have a labor shortage in the pulpit. Churches like this are the hope of America. So you start peeling the onion back. Why are they quitting? And there's 13 reasons. I'll give you just a handful. Immense stress of the job, 56%. Lonely, 43%. Negative effect on the family, not optimistic about the future, steadily decline, not respected, crisis of faith. The reason your pastor is a unicorn is because he loves doing this. My son asked me one time, who's in the ministry, he said, Dad, who do you know that wakes up every day and they're just chomping at the bit to get to work that's in the ministry? And I really had to go down the Rolodex in my mind. I found a guy out in Arkansas, one in West Virginia, but I know so many of them are under such great stress. I believe your pastor chomps at the bit to get to be involved in your life. He was bragging about you guys so much yesterday, and I love him because he's been in the youth ministry 25 years, like me. He's an old gnarly vet, and you know the reason we were in the youth ministry is because you can really get rich there doing them. No, I resonate with somebody broke, just loves kids. But I'm glad to be here, and I think I have a message for you. We're going to take our scripture in a moment. I'd like to just give a small commercial. I made a film called Aren't You Somebody? I don't think our office sent the QR code. We showed it 9 times in 8 states, $3,000 a showing, because we had premiered it on the day, March 19, 2020, when COVID hit and the governor of North Carolina shut down all the theaters. So we started premiering it and just rolling it out and special things. But when my wife had a heart attack January the 2nd, 2021, a switch went off in me. I said, okay, we made a movie in Thailand about trafficking. And the enemy tried to kill my wife, gave my daughter long hauler COVID. So I just decided to give the film away to anybody. You can access it for free. It's on the Inspiration Network. I don't know what you pay for that. But you can have it for free if you go to the website arentyousomebody.com, arentyousomebody.com. It's a 59-minute film. It is about trafficking, so parents, use your discretion. I'd like to give that to you as a gift. I'm in the film. Somebody said, why are you in the film? I said, because Robert De Niro was a little pricey. I'm the only cat that I can afford, I can tell you that. And then this book here, here in Anniston, Alabama, the very first book out of the box is this one right here. This is a study guide for a novel. You can scan that code, fill it out. It'll say claim your free gift, but when you do, the publishers put $24.99. I'm telling you, this novel, it's a novel that is about someone running from their call. And I used to read reviews, but I'm embarrassed to read them. I'm just going to tell you, in almost 40 years, this is the best thing I've ever done. Preaching, productions, Ebenezer, any of that stuff, right here, this novel. It's like a Grisham novel, but you don't have to be it's about a preacher, but you don't have to be a preacher to enjoy it. And so this is the very first one out of the box. This is the brand new study guide that goes with that. And I think this is $17, but it'll help us in the ministry if you get them. And I've marked this down to $12, and this very first one goes to your pastor for pastor appreciation. And I got a hat that's as close to the Alabama color as I could find. Thank you, Pastor, for all you do to this congregation. You can have the very first one. God bless. All right, take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Turn your Bibles. And thank you, Tracy, for working the table back there. Acts, chapter 13. We're going to pray I'll set this text up, and then we'll try to preach it. I will just tell you, at the end of the text, at the end of the message, when I finish this sermon in 2 hours, I'm kidding, it's going to be 30 minutes maybe, I don't know, not too long. We're going to do two things. If you are away from God today, you're in the right place. God loves you. He ain't mad at you. He said, you don't know what I've done, Joe. I can't be forgiven. A guy that wrote a third of this New Testament killed Christians. He's forgiven, caught up into the third heaven. If you've killed somebody, even if you have, you can be forgiven. Doesn't matter what you've done. If he had a refrigerator in heaven, he'd have your picture on it, because God is crazy about you. He's the dad sitting on the porch waiting on the sloppy kid to come home so that you'll have the opportunity to give your heart to the Lord. It's just a prayer away. You ain't got to learn doctrine, go through a study guide. Just to give your heart to Jesus, you just receive him. John 1:12, to as many as received him, he gave them the power and the right to become the children of God. 1 John 3:1, how great is the Father's love that he would call us his children. And then the second thing we're going to do is practice what I'm preaching today, and we'll just see what the Holy Spirit does. Father, I thank you for Aaron and Amy Argo and their love for you and their love and devotion to this congregation and to this community. It's evident. And I'm grateful for the joy that you've given to them. Your word says about leaders, we work with you for your joy. And they want to see joy in the people's face. And it's like a bonus check to them when they see joy in the people's face. The scripture says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. They love to see this congregation walking in the truth. They love to get in the mud and shoulder burdens with people, confidentially shoulder burdens for people and bear their burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So today, God, I'm just honored to have a jersey to be on the team for this Sunday. I'm asking for spiritual gifts. You said earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. I want to say what you want me to say, God. Be my divine editor, Lord. Let me say what you want to say. Lord, any other gifts that we need, we desire them. Words of knowledge, faith, whatever it is, evangelism, whatever it is, God. We want all the gifts, and because you're a great God and you love to give gifts. And I pray for those who are away from you, a million miles or 100 feet, that before they go to bed tonight, that they're going to be hand in hand with you. They're going to walk with you. They're going to love you, and they're going to receive you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, it was in my state of North Carolina that a guy hired a consulting firm for church growth. He hired a consulting firm, and he couldn't even afford to pay his staff. They wanted to grow and reach their community. And the consulting firm came in. They gave them $5,000. They studied all the things about the church, the demographics of the community, the budget, the staff, the ministries. And they came back with their report. And they said, here's what we've determined that will cause your church to grow. If you'll take your existing logo, they slid the paper across the table and change it to these two colors right here, boom, it's going to take off. The spirit of slap would have come upon me if I was that preacher. All this time, and you came up with a coloring book. Could you imagine the disciples sitting around trying to figure out how to do the Great Commission, how to go change the world? And you're in charge of the refreshments. You're in charge of marketing. Simon Peter, look what you're wearing, man. That is so drab. You need something that'll pop. No, the secret is what we're about to read. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. A better ministry. There's a preposition in that passage. I'm no English major. I have to have good editors when I write books. But a preposition is really important. A preposition is a word before a noun, pronoun, or other substantive that indicates spatial, like space, temporal, or other relationship. To and by, from, on, since. Prepositions are pretty critical. There's a preposition in that passage that I want to key on, and it's the word to. You think, well, why are you making a big deal about a two-letter word? It's a word that set me free. It's a word that has caused me to have great, great relief in this thing we call the ministry. The word to means pointed in a direction towards momentum in a direction towards a point, person, place, or thing. Momentum in a direction towards a point, person, place, or thing. And the word before means to contrast out in front of, ahead of, in advance of. Out in front of, ahead of, in advance of. And there's a big, big difference when you change the preposition. I walked 100 miles on the Appalachian Trail last year, and with the Lord's help and two Alabama preachers, we're going to walk 110 miles on Appalachian Trail this year. I went in the woods last year, and I told everybody it was a fundraiser. I'm going to walk 100 miles on the Appalachian Trail. Went in the woods for a nature call. Sorry, too much information. We're family, though. She said we're family. When I came back out, I kept following those white blazes. You got to find those white blazes that are on the trees. And I walked and walked in my party that usually goes ahead of me, and they'll wait on me. I couldn't find them forever. Finally, I heard a guy screaming behind me, Joe! I said, where you guys been? Where are you? He comes running up behind me. I said, why are you behind me? He said, you've walked 6 miles back to where we camped out last night. So then the preposition was critical. I said, I've told everybody that I'm going to walk 100 miles on the Appalachian Trail, not of the Appalachian Trail. There's a big difference between before and to. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, the boy Samuel, wearing a linen ephod, ministered before the Lord. But then in chapter 3, it says, the same boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. I'll give you an example. I've got three wonderful kids and another one. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. All four of my kids are awesome. One of them is a preacher boy. About 10 years ago, he preached his first sermon. He said, Mom and Dad, I'm preaching, and I don't want you to come because you're going to make me nervous. I'm just telling you I'm preaching, but I don't want you to come, please. I said, we said, okay, we honor that. About 2 days later, we're sitting around the house and like, who's running this show? I'm mom and dad right here. He ain't gonna tell us what to do. So we showed up late to the church that he was preaching at in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we army crawled into the church like this right here. We got behind the black curtain because they were meeting in an elementary school. The security team was looking at us. It's okay. We're the parents of the preacher. We watched him. You know how it is when your kids do something in front of you. The church has a Christmas pageant, and they're picking their nose and singing and swinging. You know, you're like, Hercules, Hercules. You're just so proud of them. We were so proud. As our son ministered before us and for us, ahead of, in advance of, out in front of. And then we just kept going because he wasn't nervous anymore. About the fourth or fifth time we heard the boy preach, instead of ministering before me, he said something from God that ministered to me. And there's a difference. Now, the most literal translation of Holy Scripture I learned in Bible college at Southeastern is the NASB, New American Standard Bible. What we just read is from that version, the King James Version, or this is what I carry, the New King James Version. Every other version that you might have in your lap, the NIV or whatever, will say, while the disciples were worshiping the Lord. But these three versions say, while the disciples were ministering to the Lord. And how on earth do you do that? How do you minister to the God who spoke everything into creation? Could you imagine Prince Philip coming to Oxford Anniston? And you were in charge of the welcoming committee. And you meet him on the executive airport. And he comes down. The future king of the United Kingdom comes down the steps. And he walks right towards you. What do you give that guy? Hey. Welcome to Oxford. We got you a ham. Oh, well, here's a Starbucks card. It's got $8 left on it. And Roll Tide. What do you give the future king of England? How do you and I minister to God? That's the question. So we're the bride, and he's the groom. That's the metaphor in the New Testament, that he is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. And it's not about intimacy like we think of in normal terms. It's something higher than that. It's something greater than that. It's the most intimate thing you can have. In relationship, a marriage covenant. He is the groom. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages, translated into 49 different languages, and sold over 8 million copies, and is an associate Baptist preacher in North Carolina. And he talks about the love language. Anybody familiar with that book? Anybody ever read that book? Yeah. So if we're going to use the metaphor for the rest of this message of ministering to the Lord as the bride, and he's the groom. Let's look at some of these love languages. And what if all of them are his love language? It won't take a long time, but we'll just look at the first one. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. That's my love language. My wife wants to tell me that she loves me. She affirms me verbally. I was given away as a kid. I was abused. I was put in the attic. I was dunked under the water. I was thrown out at the age of 3. Through high school, I lived in about 5 or 6 different homes. So rejection is, I'm sensitive to that. But when you affirm me, you tell me that you love me. If she gives me a gift, I freeze up on that. I'm like, I don't want to try this on. I'm watching the game. I've just got my clothes in exactly like I like it. Where am I going to put it? How much did you spend for this? But when she tells me something good, and she should do it more because it really works. Like if she'll open a drawer and say, Joe, did you organize this drawer? Huh? Yeah. What? Yeah? This. You are gifted at this, my friend. This is fantastic. Oh, you like that? Wait till you see what I do with a closet. And next month when I come in for a few days, wait till you see the garage. We don't affirm the Lord to get more out of him, but there is something about the currency of heaven that provides incredible blessing. He inhabits the praises of his people. And we can do that with a beautiful worship team, or we can do that right by ourselves. Because if I can't perfect my praise in private, my public expression may just be perfunctory or profession or performance. We can praise him right in private. And he's not like in heaven and he's a narcissist. Tell me I'm great. Tell me I'm great. It's just, it is a currency. It is an expression of the depth of our heart when we say, God, you are so great. And he has that in heaven right now. Daniel chapter 7 says 10,000 times 10,000 stands before him. Revelation chapter 4 says that the living creatures never cease to say day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, if you're at work and they give you a name for Christmas, you draw the name out of the hat. And they say, now you get that person a gift, and it's the boss. And the boss is the richest person, the owner of the company. What do you give the owner of the company? You got to find out what his currency is. What does that lady like? What does that man like? Oh, they like to play golf? Give them a couple of sleeves of golf balls. What does God like? Worship and affirmation. That's why your translation says, while the disciples were worshiping the Lord. But that may not be his only love language. The second one is quality time. How many of you, that's your love language? You know that you are loved when somebody spends time with you. I was in the woods of South Carolina a few years ago. And I'm just walking, minding my own business. I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me a question. Joe, you know when I was really proud of you? Do you know when I was really proud of you? And my egocentric mind said, oh, Lord, that's not a fair question. You have so many opportunities. I started doing a Rolodex in my mind of, you know, when I was Christian television, or when I did this or that or the other thing. Wrestled Nikita Koloff, the professional wrestler, 3 times. Maybe you're proud of me then. I'm just kind of taking it all in. And he took me back 30 years earlier to Eufaula, Alabama. My Grammy, who was my aunt by blood and then through giving away, she became my grandmother. She got saved in Eufaula at your friend's church in November of 82. I got saved in August of 82 in Columbus, Georgia. My grandmother loved 3 things on this earth. She loved professional wrestling and Christian television, which was very similar in the 1980s. She loved her grandson, Joey. And I'd been playing basketball at Columbus State University on a scholarship. It was Columbus College then. And I had driven from practice in my practice shorts to Eufaula, Alabama, to a double-wide trailer. There were 27 of us sleeping in that double-wide trailer. We were stacked up like cordwood, I'm telling you. And my grandmother said, it was Thanksgiving, my grandmother said, all right. She said, all right, the roast beef is ready. We're going to have dinner. But we're not eating until my grandson, Joey Phillips, prays for us. Where's Joey? And they looked for me for a long time, couldn't find me. I was in my practice jersey. Back then in the 80s, they came up about right here. You could get arrested for them today. I was leaning against an oak tree. And I was talking to God about everything. I was talking to him about my girlfriend, Cecile, who's now my wife. I was talking about my grandfather who had just died that month. I was talking to him about basketball and scholarships and ministry and not knowing why. I was just lost in the woods, leaning against a tree, talking to God. And the Lord says, Joe, I was really proud of you that day. A man messed with me, Pastor, about a year ago. He's in another denomination. He pastors 4,000 or 5,000 people. He came into a little intimate luncheon that the Assemblies of God ministers had in Charlotte. There are about 10 of us there, and this general of the faith walks in. He's 72 years old. He said, boys, I have to confess something to you. I don't even know how he got invited there. I mean, he's a Pentecostal guy, and I don't know how I don't even know how he knew about it. He said, I've confessed something to you guys. At my age, I can't do anything for God until I wait on him 2 hours a day. And we all kind of flinched. And he said, now by waiting on him, I'm not talking about reading my Bible, sermon prep. I'm not even talking about praying. I'm talking about sitting in a chair before the Lord when every thought in my mind jumps like monkeys from branch to branch and everything in my flesh screams, get up and do something. He said, I got to wait on him for 2 hours a day. I immediately started the practice this morning in the hotel, 36 minutes, just quietly before the Lord. There is something about giving God your time that ministers to him. How about this one, gifts? How many of that's your thing? You know you're loved when somebody comes in and gives you gifts. Nobody? Okay, take a note, all you family members. They don't care about no gifts. Some people love gifts. In Luke chapter 8, Susanna and Joanna laid their gifts in front of the Lord and sowed into them. And in the district office, you know, we'd catch all kinds of churches. There were churches with a lot of problems. And there were people who say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of this preacher. We're going to starve him out. We ain't going to give our tithes here. And they don't understand that when you put your tithe in an offering basket, you're not giving it to the preacher. You're giving it to the Lord. It's like David pouring water out in a cave. He didn't have anything, but somebody risked their lives for water, and he put a drink offering in a dirt cave. There's something about giving that ministers to the Lord. When I got saved, I played my freshman year, and God called me to preach. That's why I wrote this book, Irrevocable, because I want people to stay in the ministry. I want people to stay in their calling. God called me to preach. So I went down to Southeastern in a 1974 Dodge Dart Swinger Special, green vinyl seats, three on the tree, three on the column. You burn a case of oil on the way to Lakeland, Florida. Go into a gas station, check it for gas, and fill it up with oil. I mean, it was a smoker. And I came into an altar in January at Church of Angel Temple, and I said this kind of prayer, and I ought to pray more like this. This is a prayer I said to the Lord. Dear Lord God, I got to get in my 1974 Dodge Dart Swinger Special, three on the column, and I got to drive 8 hours due south to Lakeland, Florida. I got $5 in my pocket. That probably won't get me out of Muskogee County, and I know it ain't going to get me enough oil that I can get down there, so I don't know what to do. I just thought I'd tell you about it since you called me. Amen. I've heard preachers pray prayers like this. Father, as you look over the balconies of heaven, marshal your influences at the superfluity of naughtiness. And the angels in heaven look at each other and say, I got nothing on that. I got nothing. I mean, the angels could understand my little prayer right there. And I walked out in the foyer. My future father-in-law was my girlfriend's dad at the time. He says, Joe, I want you to meet Polly Harding. Polly drug a bad foot. She'd been dropped as a kid. She drug a bad foot up. She's an older lady. She said, are you Joe Phillips? I've been wanting to meet you, dear. I've heard of your faith and your commitment. She sounded like Miss Doubtfire, to be honest with you. I said, well, it's very nice to meet you. I've been praying for you, dear. I said, I need all prayer I can get. She gave me my first ever Pentecostal handshake. And if you don't know what a Pentecostal handshake is, it's a handshake between two human beings whereby one of them gives U.S. currency to another individual. And the amount of the denomination of the bill determines the amount of Pentecostalism. $5 will get you, 50 might get you a dance. I didn't know what it was. She shook my hand. I thought she put a hard Kleenex in my hand. I'm like, oh, I'd be glad to throw that away for you. She walked away, dragging that bad foot, and I opened my hand. And in my hand was a $100 bill. See, we didn't have Bluetooth back then. If I'm talking to myself in the truck right now, y'all think that I'm connected somewhere. Back then, if you talk to yourself, you're just crazy. I didn't care. I was in the lobby of that church. I went, from down there to right here, you're good. I'm telling you, and fast, too. Later on that year, I went to my mailbox, box 852, 1000 Longfellow Boulevard. I pulled out an envelope. It was from my home church. I opened it. It was a $61 check. You know how many cheeseburgers a $61 check could buy in 1983? And then I saw another envelope in there. I'm like, this is getting more better and more better. And I opened it up, and it was a check for $1,000. And I began to weep. I found out that that little old lady, Polly Hardy, would take arthritic hands and she'd make a quilt and she'd sell it. And she'd give the money to an unproven Bible college kid at an unaccredited college at the time. When she would give that money to me, you know, if it's like Amway, the 1,300 people that have given their hearts to Jesus as Ebenezer Scrooge prayed for them in the last 10 years, it's all on her downline. It's all on her downline. But when she gave that money, she wasn't sending it to a post office box. She was giving that money to the Lord, and it ministered to him. And acts of service, number four. Acts of service. The Bible says, I believe in Psalm 86, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. To the dear lady who opened the door for me 4 times because I kept forgetting things in my truck. You're a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And you are doing that as unto the Lord. And every time you open that door, it ministered to the Lord. Something about serving. When Jesus restored Simon Peter, he asked him 3 questions. He said, do you love me? When he asked him, he used the Greek word agape. We got one word in English for love. Love. I love biscuits. I love my truck. Love my wife. I love the Lord. I love Auburn. You know, we got one word. But the Greek has 3. He says, Peter, do you agape me? Unconditional love. And Peter says, I filio you. I'm your friend. I have friendship love for you. Peter, do you agape me? Lord, I filio you. 3rd time, Jesus met him where he was at and says, Peter, do you filio me? And it grieved Peter. He said, you know I do. And so then Jesus says, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. He didn't say, do you love the sheep? Do you love the act of feeding the sheep? He said, do you love me? And because you love me, you feed the sheep. Now, Pastor and Amy, they love you. But they ain't here primarily because they love you. They stand up and hold this microphone because they love him. And their service ministers to him. The lady that says, she runs a nursery. I love babies. I love babies so much. Oh, I love them. I love my nursery. I love them babies. Great. There's a diaper in your future, I prophesy, that will really challenge the love that you have for those babies. I'm glad that you love the babies, but you're doing it first because you love Jesus. Service. And then this is my other love language. The last one is physical touch. My wife and I have been married 37 years. When I kiss her goodbye, about 46.7% of the time, as I give her a little smooch goodbye, I get an involuntary shudder. And it makes me mad because it makes her laugh. I'm like, I can't control it. I can't control it. When she puts her hand on my shoulder, I know she loves me. I got, you know, friends who like, yeah, don't touch me. My love language, physical touch, words of affirmation. My wife's is acts of service. When she comes in and she sees me sticking out of the refrigerator, wiping down the shelves, she goes, mm-mm-mm, and it has nothing to do with the view. I can promise you that. She just knows when I'm wiping down the shelves, I don't like doing it, but I love her. Physical touch. Now, Joe, you really can't. This is one that you just really can't expect us to touch the Lord. Yeah, I do. I do, and this is what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 25, the words of Jesus, he says, you know the passage, it's a very familiar passage. Then the righteous will answer him, verse 37, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it, here's the preposition, to, in a direction towards the point, person, place, or thing. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. When you feed somebody that's hungry, when you pay your tithe, and that tithe goes into a budget, and there's a little benevolence fund, and there's a single mama who just lost her job, about to get kicked out, and the church says, this is not much, but here's a bag of groceries, and here's a little help to try to stay in that apartment. You are ministering to Jesus. That's his love language. You've done it unto me. I remember doing comedy in Marianna, Florida for the district, and driving up Highway 231, South Alabama. I got to Dothan, Alabama. You ever heard of Dothan? I got to Dothan, Alabama, and I remember my sister-in-law's mother-in-law. My sister-in-law, mother-in-law, was in a nursing home in Dothan, Alabama. So I called her. I said, Julie, your mom is in a nursing home. Mother-in-law's in a nursing home down here. Where's it at? Where are you at, Joe? I'm up here by the mall. Well, you're 20 minutes on the wrong side. You've already passed it. And I didn't have any place to be that was pressing me. So I took my Titan and made a U-turn and drove back to the nursing home. I walked in, and the mother-in-law, who I'd met a few times, she had Alzheimer's, didn't even know me, had her leg amputated not long before. There was a 100-year-old African-American lady beside her in the room, and so I spoke to both of them, prayed for both of them, didn't get goosebumps, no legs grew, nobody got out of bed. I got back in my truck, and I'm heading north. When I get right up back by the mall, I don't know how to describe this. It doesn't really happen to me. But the glory of God filled that cab. It was so thick in that cab, the presence and power and glory of God, that I had to pull off the side of the road on 231 North and just weep before the Lord. See, I'm not a natural at hospital calls. It's not the thing that I'm bent towards. And that wasn't on my radar. But somehow or another, those two ladies in that room, they were on his radar. And when we minister to people, it ministers to him and he gives right back to us. So what do we say of these things? What do we say of these things? Well, Pastor and I talked at dinner, veteran youth ministry. I've pastored a church. I'm a veteran at it. I pastored it for about 11 minutes up in West Virginia. Actually, 2.5, 3 years. So I know the pressures that come with this vocation. This is a great crowd on Pastor Appreciation. Fantastic. And so imagine the apostles sitting around. We got to change the world. We got to go change the world. Well, how are we going to do this? This great commission, go into all the world. We paralyzed with fear at the persecution. You got to be in charge of security. You got to be in charge of marketing. Who's going to be in charge of public relations? And one guy, I don't know who it is, raises his hand. What? Since we don't really know what we're supposed to do, I got an idea. How about we just love Jesus? How about we just minister to Jesus? They didn't have a better plan. Now, here's the beauty of that plan. While the disciples were ministering to the Lord and fasting, then the Lord's Holy Spirit said, all right, this is how you go change the world. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to. As you and I love on him, his Holy Spirit begins to tell us how to live, what to do, and give us resources to do it. If you believe that, say a good amen. The worship team's coming back. I'm going to try to tie a bow on this message with this true story. I live with the McCatherins in Alabama. I live with the Woods, the Heidels, the Ammons. I live with the Grendels. And they took me in during my high school years. And I didn't I didn't have a choice. One of the families that took me in, you can just play soft anytime you want to, and you don't have to. One of the families that took me in was the Grindles. There's an old farmhouse in the ghetto of Columbus, Georgia. I saw a knife fight on the sidewalk out my bedroom window one day, but I had no place else to go. And Herbert Grindle lived with his 80-year-old mama, and he was in his 50s, and he had bad medicine from his pharmacist father, and it kind of stunted his growth to like intellectually a fifth-grade level. But Herbert was a prayer warrior. And I'd come in, and I could hear him in that drafty old farmhouse praying. He talked exactly like this. He said, "Father, I pray right now for Pastor Charles Heath and Pastor Watson McKinney, Pastor Mark Northcutt, and Pastor Hal Stewart." He prayed for the county coroner by name. His name was Don Kilgore, appropriate name for a coroner. "And I pray for Don Kilgore and the mayor. I pray for that boy Joe Phillips, comes in our house all hours of the night, time from his date with Cecilia." He was praying, boy, every night, serenading me with prayers. Could hear it all the way through the house. Fast forward 5 years. I'm the youth pastor of that church. And like I said, I'm not a natural at hospital calls. And I've got them all the way from Martin Army Hospital at Fort Benning, Smith Station, Alabama. And I see, and I'm going to make a hospital call this afternoon, the Lord willing, in the same hospital, St. Francis Hospital. I see Herbert Grindle's name, the guy I used to live with. And so I like to make him quick because I had a lock-in that night and I was going to make a quick visit. When I opened the door, the Holy Ghost said, "I'm going to show you something today. I'm going to teach you something today." So I stood there. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was 35 years ago. Sun was coming in. It was not a private room. He couldn't afford it. But nobody was in the bed in the front. And the curtain was drawn and his back was towards me. And the light was coming in. And Herbert had his large print Bible on his lap. And he would say, "Who hath believed thy report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He'll grow up before him like a tender shoot." And there is Parkinson's hands. He couldn't take it anymore. He'd just lift them and worship. And he'd worship. And I stood there like my feet were in concrete. I could not move. And then he'd bring his hands down. And he'd go to another verse. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me." There he goes again. And his arms would just go. And I don't know how long I stayed there. Nurses were going around me with their medicine cart. And he was giving me a master class that day in ministering to the Lord. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But I knew inherently and instinctively in my gut that Herbert Grindle was ministering to the Lord on that afternoon in a way that no televangelist anywhere on the planet was ministering to the Lord. See, we measure success in nickels and noses. That's what we do in the ministry. By the way, all of you are in the ministry. Each one of you has been given a spiritual gift. Let me just tell you how you measure success. You measure success like the early disciples, just ministering to the Lord. Would you bow your heads? Lord, that's the message. That's the message you put on my heart for this house, this moment. And I pray for anybody in this room who's away from you, when they put their head on the pillow tonight, that they will not be away from you any longer. I'm about to call you to action. And I can't help but remember my brother-in-law 5 years ago in August, make 5 years. 2-time national football champion at Georgia Southern University, a great football coach and assistant principal at a huge public school in Georgia. No body fat, in shape, 10-mile-a-day runner, was on a run. And he had a weird heart anomaly that no physical ever picked up. And he dropped dead on that run. I preached his funeral. 2,000 people in the building. He'd only been there 6 years at that school. We live our lives in such a way the preacher doesn't have to lie at our funeral. I didn't have to lie. I said, "My brother-in-law Danny's in heaven, not because he was a good dude. Not because he was a great administrator, a great football coach, or a national champion, or a nice guy. My brother-in-law is in heaven because at one point in his life, he opened his heart and his soul and his hand and his mind and gave his heart to Jesus and received the gift of eternal life through a simple childlike prayer. The doctor said before his face hit the Georgia clay, he was dead. And I told that crowd, so if the doctor's right and the Bible is right, the Bible that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, before my brother-in-law's face hit the Georgia clay, his feet stood on streets that are paved with gold. And that's what's up. Just like that, a prayer away. If you're away from God, I don't care if you're a teenager or the oldest person in the building, you don't have to be away from him anymore. Childlike prayer. Simple prayer. I'm going to count to three as a point of reference when I say the number three in a moment. If you're away from God, I want you to slip your hand up. Leave it up for a beat or two, a count or two. I'm not going to call you out or interview you. I don't want to know what your sin is. I would never want you to know my sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, Isaiah says, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. When I say that number, you raise your hand, and we'll pray with you right where you sit. One, I didn't need you, Joe, to tell me that I've had bad thoughts, said bad words, done wrong things, and not done the right thing. I woke up and walked in knowing those facts. Two, I don't want to go to bed tonight like I did last night. I want to put my head on the pillow and know that I know that I know that if my heart stops beating, in a millisecond, I'll be walking on streets that are paved with gold and I will be living in eternal life. I want to know that. I want to know that I know that I know. And the Bible says these things are written that you might know you have eternal life. When I say this number, wherever you are in proximity to him, I'm telling you, he is not far from any of us. You draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. Revelation 3 says, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone open the door, hear my voice, I'm going to come in, we're going to eat breakfast together. That's the God we serve. He'll forgive you of everything. He'll forgive you and help you forgive yourself. When I say this number, if you're away from it, just slip your hand up. Here we go. Ready? He's ready. He's not willing any should perish. He's ready. Here we go. Three. Yeah, just slip it up. Yeah, keep it up. Keep it up. I see you. I see. I'd like everybody in the room to stand. And we honor the Lord that these six people said that they want to give their hearts to Jesus. We're grateful for that, Lord. Lord, I prayed on the way over here that the love of Jesus would compel them, and you have answered that prayer. So I pray for these people that raise their hand, that they'll understand what they need to understand, make a U-turn, go the other way, change what needs to be changed. But more than anything else, that they will trust and believe only in Jesus Christ for their eternal life. That they'll trust and believe only in Jesus Christ for their eternal life as they say a simple prayer. Now, I'm going to stutter on purpose. I want you to fill in the blank. You can say it out loud or you can say it to the Lord and tell him other things too. You'll have a second to do that. There'll be a three-word public prayer that we'll all pray in the middle of this little prayer. Won't take long. So if you raise your hand, say to God something like this. Dear God, here I am. Dear God, here I am. This is me. Dear God, I am sorry for my wrong thinking. Tell him. I'm sorry for the bad things I've said, hurtful things. I'm sorry, God, for the things I've done wrong, and I apologize. And the things I should have done that I didn't do, I'm sorry, Lord. I confess my sin. But I confess something else. At the count of three, I want everybody from the stage to the back row that feels comfortable to say with your mouth out loud, Jesus is Lord. At the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. Now the six of us, we're back to our prayer. I confess my sin. But I also confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that you've been raised from the dead. So I ask you to live in me. Tell him, I want you to live in me. And I want to live for you. I don't understand all this, God. But I want all of it that you have. I want everything. Help me understand what I need to understand. Help me to live for you. Take control of my life. Take control of my life. Take control of my life. I give it to you in Jesus' name. And now this great church, Calvary, prays for these people that raise their hand, that the roots are going to go way down deep and find the living water, and the fruit is going to go up high, and that they're going to make discipleship momentum. They're going to bear fruit that will remain, and no thing would steal what you planted in their heart. No birds of the air, cares of the earth, no difficult, hard places, but they are going to bear fruit for the rest of their lives in Jesus' name. Church, can we give God some praise for six people? Hey! Y'all, there are churches that will not see six people give their heart to the Lord all year long. And those six of you, I want you to talk to God every day. Just talk. If you can talk on the phone, you can talk to Him. Look in the Bible, the book of John. If you don't have a Bible, this church will get you a Bible. Start at the book of John. Just read a little bit every day. Tell somebody what you've done. Get baptized in water. Baptism is like the inauguration after the election. It tells the world, I belong to Jesus. So we're going to worship the Lord now, the second part of this altar service. It won't be a long altar service. Nobody's got to drive further than I do, so let's just relax. Let's just relax. Some of you need direction. Some of you are facing challenges in relationships, and there are problems that you can't fix, and you wish you could fix it. You're willing to quit texting or start texting. You don't know what to do. There are issues in business. Business has hit a wall. There are challenges. You might need some direction in life. I want everybody that's comfortable with leaving your seat, and I never do this. I never call a general all-church altar call for a photo opportunity. I'm pretty surgical in what I do in the altar. But I'm calling the whole church today on this Pastor Appreciation Sunday that we'll come and appreciate the Lord of the pastor, Jesus Christ, that we will minister to Him. And we'll start with that first thing, words of affirmation, that we'll just tell Him how awesome He is. If you need direction or don't need direction, life is going great for you, just still come and tell Him how awesome He is. Slip out as we begin to sing from where you're seated, if you're comfortable doing it, if you can, and come towards this altar, and let's together, collectively, do what the disciples did, and worship and minister to the Lord. Come on.
It's Your breath in our lungs, so we
thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.